I want to invite you to join us for the first ever Bitcoin Business Owners Roundtable. On May 22nd, Paul Dijot, co-founder and former COO at Mudwater, will be sharing about online marketing and using Bitcoin to accelerate your efforts. In addition to helping scale the well-known coffee alternative, Paul is also behind Casey Cattle's recent Bitcoin adoption that went viral on Twitter. After Paul shares, there'll be a live Q&A along with the time to share insights and network with fellow entrepreneurs. You can find a link in the show notes to sign up. Be sure you'll be able to say, "I was there," when your progeny ask you where you were for the first ever Bitcoin Business Owners Roundtable.
Businesses don't want to give away the whole branding of their loyalty programs. Like, it is simply the case that a lot of businesses are not going to wholesale replace their points or their whatever they're using with just Bitcoin. But what you can do is peg that sort of loyalty unit of value to something like Bitcoin that actually keeps its purchasing power over time.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Ian Major, who's the co-founder of Jolts, a Bitcoin company enabling businesses to bring Bitcoin rewards and Taproot asset customer incentives into their apps, websites, and stores. Ian's also the creator behind All Things Bitcoin, a YouTube channel focused on Bitcoin tutorials and educational content. As you'll no doubt hear in this episode, there was a lot of thinking, a lot of wheels turning going on in the background during parts of our conversation, especially toward the end as we started talking about Taproot assets and ways those can be used in businesses. I'd love to hear from you if you have any thoughts after you hear the conversation as well. If you do, please feel free to share those comments and a boost on Fountain. And while we're on the topic, thanks to those who have been supporting the show on Fountain in the last week, including Tyler BTC, who was streaming some sats to the show, as well as Hodl Alvarado, who sent 100 sats, Nick, who sent 222 sats and commented boost, and SW, who sent 1,000 sats. I appreciate all those who support the show on Fountain. And once again, if you would like to support the show yourself, you can either stream sats as you listen, or you can send a boost with a comment, which I will read on the show. Now, for this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight, we're going to McKinney, Texas. The McKinney Bitcoin Meetup is located in the booming suburbs 30 miles north of Dallas, Texas, where they like to say Texas is Bitcoin country. And like all y'all, McKinney believes Bitcoin will continue on its path to becoming larger and more critical. As a result, McKinney Bitcoin's mission is to help the local community learn, prepare, and benefit from the money transition that the world is going through. They do this by helping local people, local businesses, and local charities learn and apply Bitcoin. This is accomplished with frequent presentations for newcomers and literally hundreds of one-on-one meetings with small business owners and local charities. You can find out more about the McKinney Bitcoin Meetup on their Meetup page, which is down in the show notes below, along with a link to the Oshi app, which you can use to find a Bitcoin Meetup near you. Now, we're going to get to our interview with Ian right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Ian, welcome to the podcast.
Josh, thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure. I love what you do.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. Are you ready for these?
Let's do it.
When and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's funny. I think back all the way to 2013. I was a senior in college and I had a buddy of mine coming into my econometrics class, just like sweating every day. You know, he's absolutely flustered. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm day trading this Bitcoin thing. And so that's unfortunate because at the time, you know, I had this framing of like, oh, it's this like internet gambling thing. So I thought nothing more of it, which is unfortunate because, you know, I've generally been a pretty kind of freedom oriented, you know, pro free markets type of person for all my life. And so if I had any different lens, it would have been nice. But that's okay. Fast forward to the 2017 cycle. And, you know, I was one of these guys with a diversified crypto portfolio. Yes, had some Bitcoin, but I had all sorts of other stuff and sort of rode that up and down. And, you know, and it was fine, but I kind of left that cycle. This is 2018, 2019 now, sort of thinking to myself, like, there is something here and I clearly haven't found it yet. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, did the work, went down the rabbit hole. And finally kind of came out the other end recognizing that, okay, Bitcoin is special. Bitcoin is unique. It has properties and traits that are unlike any other, you know, crypto asset out there. And so that's really been the kind of journey since then. I was always entrepreneurially minded, worked as a consultant for a number of years, and ultimately jumped from that corporate job and intersected with Bitcoin and Jolts, as we'll talk about later. But yeah, so this sort of winding road that I think many of us take is how I got to this point today.
Awesome. Now, what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
Yeah, I think maybe this is not necessarily Bitcoin specific itself, but this idea that like fixed supply money is somehow fundamentally incompatible with modern society, I think is just a huge thing that deserves to be debunked. And you know, there's other categories of FUD. There's the environmental stuff, right? But I think all of that is getting addressed as time goes on. What's really sticky, this kind of very sticky mental paradigm for folks, is this fiat, i.e. inflationary monetary paradigm that all of us alive have lived our whole lives in. And so that's going to be like really hard to kind of switch out of. And we're taught in school and, you know, in mainstream media and from, you know, prominent so-called economists that, oh, this idea of a fixed supply money is like simply not a thing that, you know, it's this sort of barbaric relic of a you know, bygone age. And that's simply not true. And I won't, you know, kind of go into all the reasons why Saifedean and folks like that have written about this quite well. But I would also just sort of challenge ourselves, right? Like, yes, central planners have in many ways initiated that type of system and benefit from it and thus, you know, perpetuate it. But like, we're also a part of this. One of the core reasons of why the fiat sort of system is able to be sold so easily is that people are not okay with nominal wage declines, right? If I'm a laborer back in the early 1900s and, hey, you know, you go from earning whatever, 50 cents to 45 cents the next day, like even if you're better off on a real basis, you're not okay because you're only looking at things on a nominal level. So I would encourage all of us to kind of like look in the mirror. And we now have this beautiful thing that is Bitcoin, to where we can start, you know, demanding, you know, part of our wage in Bitcoin, or maybe receive, you know, your wage in fiat and turn part of that into Bitcoin and things like that. So, but that's a definite area that people should explore further if they're not familiar.
To that end, question number three is, what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people? It may be connected to some of what you just said, or it may just be something else that you think is great for people who are just starting out. So what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't want to show myself too much, but as a side hobby, I happen to run a YouTube channel called All Things Bitcoin. I have a playlist on there that's intro to Bitcoin. It basically takes you from zero, goes through what is money, you know, what is Bitcoin? Why is Bitcoin unique? How to get started? All that good stuff. I've had really good feedback from some of my friends and family on that. So that is one option. But no, I often think about like, who is the audience? Like, who is the person? Because I really do think it is helpful for folks, if you're trying to orange pill people, you know, to be pretty individualized. Like, the same resource is probably not going to be the thing that gets every single person, you know, to see the light or whatever we want to say. And so if it's someone who's maybe like, you know, business and kind of technology oriented, I might throw out some Jeff Booth stuff. His book, Price of Tomorrow, it's absolutely fantastic. If folks listening haven't read it, I would urge you to do so. I think that can connect in many ways. Like, everyone's looking out and seeing all the, you know, the AI stuff. And like, Jeff does a really nice job of connecting all of this back to Bitcoin. If they're a little more kind of engineering minded, maybe I might throw out some Michael Saylor. If they like to wax philosophic, maybe I'll throw out some Robert Breedlove. If they're interested in economics, there's Saifedean. And then a nice just sort of blanket recommendation for everyone could be someone like Andreas Antonopoulos and some of his OG chats. I think you could just type like Andreas, you know, intro to Bitcoin into Google, and you'll get some great resources there as well.
Question number four, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work recently?
Yeah, I've got two quick ones for you. For the business, there's a great book, Good Strategy, Bad Strategy by a guy, Richard Rumeld. And strategy is one of these really like fluffy things, right? Especially in kind of mainstream, you know, fiat land. It's like, you know, it's more of a mission statement that's the strategy, but, you know, he kind of decomposes that and sort of goes into why fluffy sort of statements like that are not the compelling business strategy. And so for and particularly for folks who kind of like brush strategy to the side and say, well, like, I don't need, you know, strategy, I've got my business, I know what I'm doing. But, you know, there's always kind of room for improving how you think about your business and how you operate in the marketplace. So that's a great resource just from a business standpoint. And then personally, I would give a shout out to one of Matt Ridley's books, The Rational Optimist, which sort of goes through, and the thesis is the core kind of engine and driver of prosperity for humanity is our ability to freely trade. It's a fascinating, fascinating book. And I think back to it often when, you know, I'm thinking about things like Bitcoin, you know, the degree to which we can facilitate economic transactions, voluntary value for value transactions, the better off we will all be at a society. And I think Bitcoin in many ways removes a lot of those different barriers. So two interesting ideas that have inspired a lot of my thinking over the last little bit.
So now we have question number five. We call it our arbitrary but insightful question. And it's this: as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
That's a good one. I would have to say why not. I am a kind of experiment driven at my core. I think that is the only way to discover truth is by trying, failing, learning. And so, you know, thus that lends itself, I think, a bit better to saying why not. So I would encourage people to try things out. That's the only way you're going to know for sure, right? You can't model out all these complex things. You just got to try it.
Meet Linkster, your premier Bitcoin-focused advisor. Linkster caters to businesses, institutions, family offices, and high net worth individuals. They merge your unique financial goals and needs with Linkster's Bitcoin expertise to craft your own sustainable plan to preserve and grow the value of your hard-earned profits and retained earnings. At Linkster, it's not just advice, it's tailored execution. Connect directly with the founder by visiting linkster.com. That's Linkster. .com. Linkster, secure your future with Bitcoin. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to VelusCommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at VelusCommerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. So Ian, we're here today to talk about your business, Jolts Rewards. I actually found out about you first from your YouTube channel that you were talking about earlier. Nice. And then only later realized that you and the Jolts guy were the same guy. I appreciate the great content you've been putting out there, and I'm looking forward to learning more about Jolts today. Maybe if you could just share with us what Jolts is and what you guys have been up to in the last, I think, probably like a year and a half, 2 years since you started.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the co-founder of Jolts, and we're a B2B company focused on Bitcoin rewards and user incentives. So you've got a lot of different Bitcoin reward type things out there that tend to be a little more B2C in nature. So you've got things like the Fold card. You've got things like Lolly, the browser extension. These are both tools that individual consumers can use to shop online or shop with a payment card and earn some Bitcoin back. And like, that's awesome. The angle we're really taking and the opportunity we saw was, well, as Bitcoin continues this adoption arc, you know, businesses are going to need the tools to be able to bring Bitcoin rewards into their own apps, into their own websites, into their own stores even. And so we've built a suite of tools to do just that. We started out beginning of 2023 with our e-commerce plugins. So think of like Shopify stores, WooCommerce stores. They could go and say, hey, you know, I want to do 5% back on all purchases. So you come in, you make the purchase just like you normally would, and then you get a nice little pop-up at the end that allows you to claim a little bit of Bitcoin. Or they might say something like, hey, you know, you have to spend at least $50 and then you get the reward. So the merchant has the control around that that logic, and they could run that as like a limited time campaign. They could run it as sort of an always on offer, whatever the case is. So that's where we really started, is those sort of e-commerce plugins. And then we realized, well, we're never going to be able to kind of build out a ready-made, out-of-the-box integration for all the different platforms that exist. And so let's create our general-purpose API that would allow any entity, regardless of whether you're an online merchant or something completely different, to use our same technology and our same tech stack. And so we launched that over the summer of 2023. And so we've got a whole range of businesses now using our tools to do things like referral systems, right? You know, I have an affiliate or a referral system, and I want to, you know, enable them to get paid out in Bitcoin. We have some great tools for that. The sort of classic, you make a purchase and you get the reward. But we also have, you know, other customers doing, you know, more creative or doing other creative kind of use cases, reward for like onboarding. You know, maybe there's a particular step in the onboarding flow where a lot of users drop out. You can sprinkle some sats to kind of incentivize them to get over that hump. Or we have some educational kind of customers who, hey, maybe I want to incentivize folks to complete some sort of educational module or whatever the case is. So like whatever that action is that the business wants to incentivize, we try and make it easy for them to do so with our tools. And this is all, as you might guess, Lightning first, because a lot of these rewards are quite small. And so we use, the Lightning Network, and we have, our infrastructure that takes care of all the Lightning node, sort of stuff that has to go into that. And then most recently, we've been kind of continuing to expand that set of capabilities. So we've got kind of a cool, like little reward spinner, certainly inspired from Fold. We've taken that to conferences. We've had some of our customers at conferences. You know, you could basically pull this up on a tablet. And so this could also be something interesting for like an in-store experience where someone checks out at your store and then they get the chance to spin the little wheel on the tablet at the end, you know, something like that. And then most recently, we've also been doing some pretty cool stuff with Taproot assets. We could get into that in more detail if it's of interest. But for folks who may not be familiar, Taproot Assets is a protocol developed by Lightning Labs, one of the big companies, of course, in the Lightning space behind the LND Lightning implementation. This was formerly known as Taro. If people remember the name Taro, it got rebranded to Taproot Assets Protocol. But this basically seeks to make Bitcoin a multi-asset network. And some people may hear that and cringe, and that's okay. But there are some really kind of interesting use cases that people are thinking about, things like stablecoins. You know, you look out into the world and see all the different geographies and people who really value the ability to save in something like the US dollar, right? Some of us may think, well, that's crazy, but the dollar in many ways is the slowest melting ice cube of the bunch. And so there is a use case there. And we see it with some of the customers we're talking to in Latin America, for example. You can also do some cool stuff around think of loyalty collectibles, Starbucks, right? I mean, I've learned in my time in my professional life to pay attention when Starbucks does something. And so they launched their Odyssey initiative, which is a Web3 extension of their loyalty program, right? And give users the ability to earn, you know, these digital badges that can serve as keys and unlock different access to perks and benefits. And of course, they've built this on Polygon because it's so green and wonderful. And so we look at that and we say, well, there should be a Bitcoin-based sort of competitor. And what I'm really excited to share, and we can get into some more specifics if it's helpful, is that we are now starting to get interest, inbound interest from one, non-Bitcoin companies. A lot of our early customers, not surprisingly, are Bitcoin companies. You start close to home. And second, the reason that they are engaging us is because of the sort of built on Bitcoin philosophy. So that's really interesting. But yeah, basically, in summary, a whole gamut of loyalty tools for businesses to bring Bitcoin rewards into their ecosystems. And that can even include things like your own branded token that's backed by sats. So it could be like, you know, I don't know, Ian's flower shop token that could be converted into X number of Satoshis. The key thing we need to keep in mind as you know, just consumers and people in business is that businesses don't want to give away the whole branding of their loyalty programs. Like, it is simply the case that a lot of businesses are not going to wholesale replace their points or their whatever they're using with just Bitcoin. But what you can do is peg that sort of loyalty unit of value to something like Bitcoin that actually keeps its purchasing power over time. So a lot there that we could potentially unpack.
Yeah, there is a lot there. I do have a lot of thoughts. It's one of those things that I'm thinking as a consumer, I would rather have sats. But absolutely, I can see the value of, you mentioned Starbucks. You know, you have a strong brand and you know that people are going to be wanting to go back to Starbucks. If you could keep your points in a USD value, so to speak, or if you prefer to have them in Bitcoin terms, maybe even that Bitcoin will appreciate your Starbucks points or whatever, so you can buy more coffee. I don't know how a brand would think through that, but I do think that there's, whatever happens, I think being able to capture the upward volatility of Bitcoin for the consumer could be really good. That said, you also don't necessarily want your brand to have a negative image, because if, you know, the points were in Bitcoin, they went down in value as well. So there's a lot of things that I'm just thinking through right now, a lot of potential, a lot of things you want to be careful about doing as a brand. But I could go on for days with just random thoughts that I've had since you've been talking. One of the things I think would be helpful for people listening right now is understanding, but first of all, you've explained well the possibilities, but understanding how easy it is to work with, you mentioned the logic of the rules for the rewards. Is that something that anyone can pretty easily do, whether it's for, you know, cash or, you know, sats back, or something like some sort of reward for completing an onboarding education course?
Yeah.
How easy is that? Because a lot of people are not super technically minded, coming from someone who's not super technically minded. Yeah. And that can be intimidating or a pitfall. And so how easy is it to, once you're using Jolts, to be able to manipulate it to give the rewards you're hoping to provide to consumers or employees?
Yeah, no, 100%. So the short answer is we make it as easy as we possibly can. For the e-commerce use cases, so, hey, I want to reward people when they make purchases with Bitcoin, that's as simple as adding a little webhook to your Shopify. So, you know, you go in your admin section of Shopify, there's a little, you know, space where you can put in what are called webhooks. And that just allows, you know, connectivity between our system and their store. And, you know, takes 10 seconds to add that that line. And that's about it. Brands will also, we're just getting ready to roll out in January, a revamped version of a kind of brand dashboard. And so this is going to be their one-stop shop where they can sort of manage all their rewards. They can change the logic if they want. Right now, they kind of have to like manually tell us, and then we change it on the back end and then say, hey, it's changed. But this will allow them to do all that from just a nice simple dashboard. They can add in some of these other things if they want, right? They could, you know, add in the Taproot asset stuff if they find a need for that. Or maybe they're doing like purchases now, but they also want to implement a referrals. They could add that in as well. So it's pretty simple in that regard. For more custom kind of use cases like the education one, or you know, things that are not necessarily like making a purchase or making a referral, our API is probably the best option for that. And that would require a developer, you know, with just a base, you know, basic developer. We have a GraphQL API that is, you know, pretty easy to work with. It's similar to, you know, a number of other APIs that that developer is probably used to working with. And the purpose there is really to abstract away all the kind of Bitcoin complexity, all the Lightning complexity, so they don't have to build out a whole Bitcoin tech stack themselves. They can just use, you know, our API endpoints to do what, you know, what they need to. And then we're getting ready to also launch our Jolts wallet, which will be a non-custodial Bitcoin wallet that also supports Taproot assets. And that'll be just a really easy way for businesses to be able to mint and create their own Taproot assets, or for individuals to do so, and that sort of thing. So we try to make it pretty easy, but yeah, the kind of brand app that's coming out is going to be a really, really nice experience for businesses.
Some of what you're doing sounds sort of like what MicroStrategy is looking to do with their Lightning Rewards, based off of, you know, your response there. Sounds like that's kind of the direction you're thinking. Is that correct?
Yeah, MicroStrategy. I mean, we saw that and we were like, okay, we're not crazy, right? You know, someone like MicroStrategy is thinking in a similar vein. MicroStrategy, I think, from what we understand to date, is conceiving of this as mostly like internal rewards, which is 100% still in our wheelhouse. You know, this idea that, hey, maybe I can reward my sales team for closing an opportunity in Salesforce or something, right? You know, or closing some sort of deal, or maybe I can reward internal employees for, I don't know, achieving some career milestone, right? Or, you know, I think MicroStrategy is even thrown around like showing up to meetings on time. You know, you could get like pretty creative with it. And so, yes, that is very much, you know, that is very much in line with what we can offer. And in fact, we're in discussions now with a company that's doing some really, really cool stuff as it relates to Bitcoin and like total HR compensation type rewards. And we would potentially be powering the sort of Lightning component of that for some of these like smaller, you know, kind of use cases. So that's absolutely, you know, part of our wheelhouse. And a lot of people, when they think about Bitcoin rewards, they have a pretty myopic kind of sense of that, of like, oh, it's me as a consumer making a purchase and I get some Bitcoin back. But if you think about it, Satoshis are like the perfect micro incentive for literally anything that we could kind of dream up on you know, on the internet or in any sort of digital kind of environment. So it's pretty exciting what's possible.
Mm-hmm. So listeners will be familiar with Swan's Bitcoin benefit plan. We've talked to a few people from Swan about that before. And recently we had Scott Deedles from Block Rewards on here as well. And he's primarily, he's based in Canada. And I think Canada and the UK are kind of where he's focusing right now. Will Jolts be able to provide that Bitcoin rewards to employees if they, it kind of like the Bitcoin benefit plan, if that's an interest to a business owner?
So we're I don't think we're going to necessarily focus on like the benefit plan angle. We love Scott, by the way. Block Rewards is terrific in what they're doing. We would be more of a tool behind the scenes that like a Block Rewards could use to like we're probably not going to get involved with like the benefit plan or the compensation type stuff. But for some of those use cases where it's like, hey, I want to be able to reward my sales members when they complete certain milestones, or reward my employees with like smaller amounts of sats, we can be that tool that like a Block Rewards would use to do that. Because maybe they, you know, it's a classic build versus buy type of decision. Maybe they don't want to go and build a whole kind of Lightning tech stack for this reward component that they want to do. They can just use what's already built and what we've already built, you know, with Jolts.
Now let's talk a little bit about the Taproot assets, a little bit more about this at least. What are some ways that businesses are either currently using this, or, you know, how are they currently using this? And if this is still new enough to where you don't have a lot of clients who are using it, what are some of the conversations with either potential clients or current clients who are potentially going to use this Taproot assets option in the future? What are those like right now?
Yeah. I'm really excited to share that we have officially signed our first customer engagement for Taproot Assets. And even more excitingly, it's a non-Bitcoin business. Mm. They are a upscale gym of all things, believe it or not. And they have a capped membership. And so, we got talking to the gym owner. By the way, this guy has had this idea in his head for some time. I think he stumbled across us in a podcast and was like, whoa, we can now do some of this stuff on Bitcoin. Like, that was the catalyst that made him reach out to us. And so going back to my earlier point, like, that is super exciting. Again, we could debate and argue over whether some of these use cases are good or bad for Bitcoin, but it is simply the, we're very market driven. We listen to what customers ask for, and we try and build those things within reason. So what he's using this for, we're going to be helping him create a couple things. One is a branded loyalty token. So this will be backed by sats. It'll be convertible to sats. The token itself won't even be tradable or have any sort of market value in and of itself. It'll just be this thing that gym goers can earn when they go and visit the gym. We might do some cool things around like hitting a personal PR, this like playing on this kind of proof of work type of thing. So there's a lot of cool kind of marketing angles there. But they'll be able to, because this gym is a fixed capped membership gym, and he sold all the memberships. So it's waitlist only right now. Existing members will have the option to get a collectible that basically serves as their pass. And it also serves as their ability to earn this token that they can earn for, all sorts of reasons. And effectively, they're earning Bitcoin. But the reason that he has this token as this sort of middle or as this sort of interface is to be able to introduce it to his members in an easier fashion, right? So that he doesn't have to like get everyone fully up to speed on Bitcoin on day one. Mm-hmm. And this allows them to sort of go at their own pace and move at their own pace. But that's one we're really, really excited about. We've got others kind of similar like that. But that's one kind of really notable example that, I'm pretty excited about. So you'll definitely hear more about that in the coming months as we implement that and get it out into the world.
So with that particular situation, you said it's backed by sats, and I'm curious to know whether or not the token goes up in value along with the Bitcoin price, or is it redeemable in sats, but maybe floats at like a dollar value or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's not. So the token itself, like the goal is not to like have this speculative token that people can, mm-hmm. whatever. It's purely redeemable for sats. And so I think the way we'll probably end up doing it is having two things. You could have the balance in dollar value of these tokens that you have, and that is simply tracking the price of Bitcoin, because each of those tokens would be convertible for X number of sats, or you could have it viewed in sat terms as well. But it would be like, here's X tokens balance, and then maybe in parentheses you'd have like the US dollar value, and it'll just track the US dollar price of Bitcoin, given that that is the primary purpose of the token, is to redeem it into Bitcoin. And he's also even playing around with some cool like other utility for this collectible that could potentially lock a member in to a price point that they're currently paying, right? So some members are paying, a lower price because they were OGs, they were early on. Others are already paying a higher price. And again, because this is a fixed membership concept, I had the opportunity to go, visit the facility. It's a beautiful facility. Let's say that I move away from that area and what do I do? Well, I could potentially sell that collectible, and maybe the market rate for the gym membership is like a lot higher than what I have embedded in my collectible. And so you could have someone be able to, bid on that, and I get value from my early loyalty to this gym and helping kind of build that community. So like there's some cool things, like, we're not in this to sort of have speculative trading and all this. Like, we're really advising our customers and potential customers, like, tie some real utility, tie some real benefit to this. And these assets are simply either serving as keys to unlock these different things, or they're serving to as really an interface to make it easier to get people into Bitcoin. And so we're excited to have kind of both pillars of what's possible with these Taproot assets in this particular client engagement.
So it's interesting, the way that you're using it for this token, it makes a lot of sense to me. The thing that that I like about Bitcoin is its simplicity. Now, I say that as, once again, a non-technical person. You get into the weeds and there's a lot of very technical things that you could say are simple or not. But like you get into the details, it's still a simple concept, but there are also a lot of technical things within the world of Bitcoin. So I don't want to say that Bitcoin is necessarily simple, but the basic idea of sound money makes sense.
Yep.
What's interesting is, like, it's not even the Taproot assets. It sounds to me like it's the concept of the gem. This sounds really complex. And one of the reasons I like Bitcoin is because I think it makes a more straightforward market, a straightforward world. I'm interested to see if there are business models that are more status focused that continue to arise in our world. It just seems like it's the gem that seems like it's very complex, not necessarily the Taproot assets element. So I'll just be interested to see kind of where those types of things go, because I feel like, you know, at least the people that I know that go to the gym, they want to go to a gym and work out. They want a great experience. It sounds like this gym is an amazing experience, but then you get into like trading your gym membership. Do you think that's the way that the world will increasingly go? Is this a trend that you see happening more and more?
Yeah, here's the beautiful thing. I don't know. And I think in many ways, and the gym owner, I think, would answer in the very same way. Like, this is something he wants to do. This is something he wants to offer his members on an opt-in basis, mm-hmm. right? Like, people are going to opt into this thing. They're not going to be, this is not going to be imposed on people. It's not going to be, hey, we're rendering you incapable of accessing the gym unless you have this collectible thing. Like, so it's, I think that's important, right? This all has to be opt-in. You can't kind of force this on people. It has to be sort of voluntary. It has to be sort of opt-in. And you're right. You know, some of these mechanics here to, you know, some listeners might say, like, whoa, what the heck? And so they're unique. And I think we're going to see other flavors of these implementations that are a lot simpler. Something as simple as just like, look, I like the idea of rewarding my consumers with something that holds its value, or maybe even increases over value over time. Like, that's all I want to do, but I am nervous and or ill-equipped to get all my customers on board with this idea of Bitcoin. And so having some sort of a branded token that is backed by Bitcoin is just an easier way for me to start that conversation. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, by the way, later on, like, maybe I do away with the token entirely, because now the level of awareness and education is there. And people are like, well, no, like, I like the token because it is backed by Bitcoin. And, you know, Bitcoin preserves my purchasing power, unlike traditional points, which, by the way, lose their value even faster than your fiat melting ice cube in your savings account. A lot of people maybe intuit that, but like, haven't done the math. The math is really ugly. So I think you're going to have all the full spectrum of complex, less complex. I think embedded in your question is maybe this idea of, like, are we moving to a sort of web, from a web 2 to a web 3 loyalty paradigm? And I think there's elements of that. I put the quotes up because it's, you know, it's just a cringe term that has been thrown around. And I think, I think been besmirched by lots of degeneracy. But I think there's elements of, like, businesses trying to build communities and having some notion of ownership and just simply trying to kind of add value and flexibility to the way in which they retain and engage their customers or users. Like, I definitely think that is the direction we're heading. And it is our belief. It's our belief that that's the direction we're heading. And, you know, what we want to offer is, no matter what your use case is along that spectrum, we have a tool for you to do it. We have a tool for you to do it on Bitcoin in a way that brings users onto Bitcoin. Another way I like to analogize it is, you know, we always talk about Bitcoin as this life raft. Like, there is simply going to be many different ladders through which people are climbing onto this thing. Sound money is absolutely the number one. But like some of these other things, you know, if we can get pre-coiners or no coiners at this gym to now be aware of Bitcoin because of this program, you know, I think that's a huge win. And if we can do it in the right way with the right technology, again, not to throw shade at something like Ordinals. I think Ordinals has been like a fascinating experiment to watch. But the simple fact is that a protocol like Taproot Assets is much, much more efficient and sort of chain respectful, I might say, right? In the sense that a lot of what's happening is happening off chain. Mm-hmm. And so you're not, you know, bloating the blockchain as much. You know, you're kind of keeping it as pristine as you can, whatever. Again, we can get into moral arguments over what are better use cases or less good use cases. But yeah, I think we are heading in the direction of a more community-oriented loyalty paradigm where consumers are going to consistently crave more value than they're getting now and more flexibility than they're getting now. And the idea of incorporating Bitcoin rewards as an option to that, I think addresses both of those big pain points.
Yeah. And I think as I've been reflecting a bit on the question, even during your answer, you said some things that have kind of helped me to piece together what I was trying to get at. And that is, given that people will always want status, there are always people that will be, you know, wanting more status and brand associations and what you own adds to your status. But is the status culture, like I'm thinking shoes, like, you know, collector shoes, yeah. Is that a symptom of a fiat culture, or will it be as prevalent even in like a sound money system? And I don't quite know the answer. My guess is that it's a little bit connected to a fiat culture. But once again, there will always be people that want to have like the really cool thing and want top quality, top brands. So no fault to anyone who that's kind of their thing. I think people try to the connection, the desire to have a top brand, for instance, or like a limited edition something or other, is usually not because it's the best thing, but because it can be a store of value. People wouldn't say it that way, but that's kind of what gives them, or at least gives that item some of its status. So I don't know. It's an interesting thing, but I appreciate the fact that you're responding to the market. You're trying to say, hey, within this context, how can we introduce Bitcoin to more people, and how can we help people have the best value connected to their rewards? So I think what you shared is really interesting, and I'm interested to see how the flexibility that Taproot Assets provide, how that changes how people are thinking about rewards.
Yeah, no, 100%. And again, we're learning as we go. But you know, our mission at the end of the day is to accelerate Bitcoin adoption in whatever way we can. Like that, if we don't do that, then we consider ourselves a failure. And so, to the degree that I think the really big concept that a lot of Bitcoiners can think about more is, how do we cross this chasm? Like, how do we get Bitcoin more into the mainstream? And it's our belief that rewards is one really powerful vector to do that. And what we have noticed in the market, in talking with customers, in our past experience, you know, in some of these spaces, is that there are these different use cases. And so, you know, how can we build an easy to use set of tools that regardless of where your use case is along that spectrum, you can come in, use it, and get, you know, some of these people onto Bitcoin either earlier than they otherwise would have been, or maybe on when they wouldn't have otherwise been at all. And so your listeners can judge us based on that, and I'm sure we'll see it unfold over the coming months and years.
I don't think that listeners are going to judge too harshly. I think a lot of business owners really appreciate when there are people in the market trying to figure out, okay, here's a set of tools. How can we most effectively use it for Bitcoiners, increase Bitcoin adoption, but just to solve problems? And so, 100%. Yeah. That being said, if there are business owners who have listened to this today and either say like, hey, I want to try out Jolt's rewards or basic Bitcoin rewards. Yeah. I want to maybe try it out along with the help from my developer, you know, trying to see how we can maybe use Bitcoin rewards within the context of the organization for employees, or if something you've said connected to this gym or other things, a business owner might be saying, okay, there might be something we can do with Taproot assets. What do you want people to do as far as reaching out to you or connecting with you on social media or any other ways, whether it's now or in the future?
Yeah, 100%. So you can go to joltsrewards.com. We are getting ready to launch our completely rebranded or kind of reskinned website, which will have a lot more, a sort of better look to it, a lot more kind of interactivity where you can play around with different things. But joltsrewards.com, and you'll see a number of different kind of contact us buttons that you can certainly use there. You can also find me on Twitter. It's Ian_Major. So you can drop me a DM there. I would love to hear from you. And as you rightly said, Josh, it's the full gamut. We do, you know, we work with you know, small Bitcoin businesses, e-commerce businesses, you know, selling Bitcoin apparel, selling, hardware wallet resellers, all the way up to kind of the more sort of fanciful use cases that we've talked about. So yeah, anything in between, reach out. We would love to hear from you. And I'd be happy even just to bounce some thoughts and share what we've learned so far.
Excellent. Well, Ian, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise, Josh. Thanks for having me on.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Ian, you can find those links down in the show notes. And if you think Jolts would be really interesting for your business, check them out as well. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, thank you. If you want to take a further step in your support for the show, you can help us grow by listening on Fountain, a value-for-value podcast app on iOS or Android. If you hear something you like that you disagree with or anything else, you can share it by sending some sats and adding a comment with your thoughts. Some of you have already done this, and I appreciate it. I'm going to begin reading your boosts on upcoming episodes, so if you have some insight or value to add, let the people know. Getting started with Fountain is easy. You can add Bitcoin to your Fountain wallet by using your fiat accounts or any Lightning wallet. And one of my favorite features is that once you're using the app, you can earn sats just by listening on Fountain. Check out the link in the show notes to get started with Fountain today.